Amen. What a blessing. Amen. You know, there's no other God on earth, little G-O-D, that can do what we sing about here. Amen. It's only Him. You know, the Muslims, they don't do what we do. There's no Muslim hymn book that, you know, they don't sing, you know, give Allah glory. It just doesn't make any sense. And you go through all the religions of the world, you get to Christianity, the God of the Bible, the God that saves, the God that gave, the God that loves, the God that's full of mercy, the God that's full of grace. We have so much to be thankful for tonight. Amen. And He wants us to be thankful. He wants praise to be on our lips and thanks to be in our hearts. And He wants to be glorified, lifted up. He shares His glory with nobody. He wants all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, whether we're singing in a pew, or singing behind a piano, or singing behind a pulpit, or preaching or teaching. It's all about Him. Amen. It's all about Him. Acts chapter number 20 tonight. The book of Acts in chapter number 20. And I love the Apostle Paul. I love his life. I love his ministry. I love his conversion. He has a very unique conversion experience. And I'm glad that my conversion does not have to be like the Apostle Paul's. If it did, you and I would be in trouble. We would doubt whether or not we had gotten the real thing, because most of our conversion experience was not like the Apostle Paul's. Most of you were not walking down a road, headed somewhere, and a light shined down from heaven. You heard a voice and struck with blindness for 3 days, had to go to a different city and meet with a man there. It wasn't that dramatic. But the Apostle Paul's was, and God had a special task for him, a special calling upon his life. But there's much that we can learn from the ministry of the Apostle Paul tonight. And one thing about Paul is that I believe he was one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. And outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the only one that lived the Christian life, He is the God-man. He is the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the only one that lived it perfectly. And of course, John the Baptist, Jesus said of himself, there was no man that was born of woman greater than John the Baptist. But the Apostle Paul ranks up there pretty high. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, from the book of Romans all the way through the book of Hebrews. And God used him mightily. And he had some things to say here. I think tonight will be a help to us here in Acts chapter number 20. And let's read a little bit here in verse number 17. The Bible says here, verse number 17, we'll read a little bit, read to the end of the chapter and try to, I want you to jump in the pages. I want you to see yourself here with the Apostle Paul. The Bible says in verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, talking about the Apostle Paul. And he called the elders of the church. So Paul is going to meet with these preachers. The Bible says in verse 18, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how that I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. By the way, you ought to mark this verse in your Bible for anybody that says that repentance is not required for salvation. It's really one of the greatest verses in your Bible that sums up what salvation is. Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the heads and tails of the same coin. Verse 22, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take to you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down, and he prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, and they fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. I want to preach tonight from that verse there in verse number 24, where the Apostle Paul is meeting with these elders that he has called to himself as he is passing through, and he's wanting to meet with some of these preachers face to face and talk to them. And he says a lot of things in there, and I think they're very important things, because if you're going to see someone for the last time, what you're going to say is not going to be a waste of words. You're going to say things that are very important, that are very weighty, that are very necessary for those that whom you are talking to. And the Apostle Paul knew here, according to what he said, that he said, this is the last time we're going to see each other. We're not going to face each other anymore. And I'm going to tell you some things while we're here face to face. But he tells them there in the midst of all this, as he's dealing with all these particular things through the chapter, and then he comes to the end of his talk with these men, and then the Bible says that they fall on Paul's neck and they kiss him, and there's a lot of tears, there's a lot of weeping, because these men love each other. Paul loved these men loved the Apostle Paul. But right there in verse number 24, the Bible says here that he said that I might finish my course, what's the last two words of that? With joy. I want to preach tonight on finishing with joy. Did you know the Christian life is not always full of joyful experiences? There's a lot of things that you're going to go through that you could not sum it up and say, hey, this right here was a joyous time. This was a joyous experience. The Christian life is full of seasons. The Apostle Paul mentions that there in the text in verse number 18, where he says, after that, what manner I have been with you at all seasons. And life is full of seasons. Seasons come and seasons change. By the way, you ought to enjoy the seasons of life. We live in a country where we get four seasons. Not every country and place in the world gets that many seasons. Some get rainy season and dry season. But listen, we get to live in a place where we get to experience the seasons. And you ought to enjoy the different seasons of life. The times when you have plenty and the times when you don't have anything at all. The time when the sun's shining, the time when it's not shining. The time when you have a smile, and the times when you have a heart that's weeping. You ought to just take and say, hey, these are the seasons that God gave me, and by the grace of God and with the help of God, I'm going to finish my course with joy. Did you know it's a choice? Not everybody has joy. There's a lot of people in the Christian experience and in churches, they don't have joy. They might finish, but they're not going to do it with joy. They're melancholy. Their spirit animal is Eeyore. Amen. And God doesn't want it to be that way. Life is full of moments, as Pastor said yesterday. In moments, we ought to treasure those moments. Treasure those memories. As my wife said, as she sat there and she sang, she said, hey, I can go back and say, do you remember? By the way, Paul did say that. In the text, one of the things he said in verse number 31, he said, therefore, watch and what? Remember. You're going to have to call some remembrance back to your mind during these seasons of life. And so how do you finish with joy? Listen, if you read Acts chapter number 20, there's a lot going on. I read Acts chapter number 19 to try to get the context this afternoon again. You know, there's a lot going on in Paul's life. He's not stationary very long. He goes to one place and he's preaching, and there's always a trial. There's always opposition. There's always somebody pushing back on him. There's always some kind of negativity in his life. And yet the Apostle Paul, somehow, some way, through the power of the Holy Ghost and his walk with God and his fellowship with God, was able to say, hey, no matter what comes your way, you can finish with joy. At the beginning part of the chapter, look at verse number 1 of chapter number 20. Here Paul is in chapter number 19. He goes to a city and he's preaching. You read chapter number 19, you know what's going on? He's preaching, and his preaching and the gospel is hurting businesses. He's preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. He's preaching the gospel. He's preaching about the Holy Ghost. And there's a lot going on here. There's a lot of false religions. And he's preaching, and it's hurting these men's businesses. They're building these little statues, and they're offering them up to Diana. And they're saying, finally saying, man, you know what? Paul's preaching, and man, our sales are going down. Because people are getting saved. And the gospel, by the way, the gospel will change a town. It will change. A church that's gospel-focused and gospel-centered and preaches the gospel, you say, what difference can we make as East River Baptist Church in New Caney, Texas? If we preach the gospel here, it will change New Caney, Texas. One soul at a time, somebody will turn from to God, from idols, to serve the living and the true God. And so there's this uproar that takes place, and they're standing out there, they're clapping their hands, they're stomping their feet, they're saying, great is the goddess Diana, great is the goddess Diana. And there's this uproar going on, and finally, there in verse number 30, the Bible says that, but if ye inquire anything of chapter 19 concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. Verse 40, for we are in danger. The gospel's a dangerous thing many times. To be called in question for this day's uproar. Somebody said, well, you know, we're just living our best life now, and it's just a wonderful life, and everybody can just get along, and the gospel's all about the love of God. You preach that gospel, the Bible says there's going to be dangerous times, there's going to be uproars. The Bible said, there being no cause whereby we give an account of this concourse. Verse 41. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Look at verse 1. And after the what? The uproar. Now, Paul, how in the world can you have joy whenever there's this uproar going on? He said, what's he doing? He's dealing with the fury here at Ephesus. The gospel is causing an uproar, and the Bible says there the uproar ceased. By the way, thank God they don't always... One of the greatest sayings in the Bible, Brother Craig, is that it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. Amen? Amen. Just keep on serving God. Keep your joy. Hang on to the promises of God. And even though there might be some furies in your life, some uproars, just keep on serving God. Just keep on with joy, with a smile on your face, loving God, serving God, doing some things for God. You say, what kind of man was Paul? Paul was a marked man. Everywhere Paul went, he said about himself, he said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I don't know what all those marks were. I know he had some stripes on him, probably some scars. No doubt his eyesight, maybe he talked about his struggle with some eyesight and some various things, and talked about having to write a large letter. I don't know, maybe he struggled to read. He had some struggles in his life. He had to travel with a physician at the end of his life. He said, only Luke is with me. Evidently, amen, it's a scriptural thing to maybe even have a doctor with you. Why? Because this old body's going to get some marks on it. Saw a picture the other day of a pastor who said, you know, I've been pastoring for 40 years. And it was a man, you know, or not 40 years, it was a man. He said, I'm 40 years old, but it looked like he was 80. He said, I've been pastoring for a few years, amen. And sometimes it takes a toll, and it's supposed to be funny, right? But the truth is, amen, it's a load. And Paul knew something about those marks. He had the marks of Christ on him. He said, what kind of marks did he have? Paul had a birthmark on his life. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 8, he talks about it. He said that the Lord Jesus Christ was seen of many. above 500 at once. And then he said over there in verse number 8, he said that he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. And Paul had a birthmark. He was one that saw the Lord in Acts chapter number 9, got saved by the grace of God. He had a birthmark. He had a watermark on his life. You read Acts chapter number 9, the Bible says that he got baptized. And he was called Brother Saul. There in the book of Acts, chapter number 9, he had a birthmark and a watermark. He had a growth mark on his life. Paul was a man of the book. He loved the Bible. There in verse number 32, he said, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to what? Build you up. And to give you an inheritance among them also, which are sanctified." He had a growth mark on his life, a watermark on his life, a birthmark on his life. Paul had a hallmark on his life. He said, what was it? He stood before these great men, Felix and King Agrippa. And we know what King Agrippa said as he listened to the Apostle Paul. And at the end of that concourse there, the Bible says that he looked at Paul and he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." He stood in high places. He had a hallmark on his life. He had a death mark on his life. Paul, at the end of his life, he said, "I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith." And Paul said, "I'm ready to die." And he said, "I'm ready to do it with joy." With joy. Do you want to cross the finish line tonight with joy in your life? Or do you want to be a sour Christian? A sour saint? Amen. A curdled Christian. I don't want to be that. I want to have joy in my life. Some men and women don't have joy. I love the East River Baptist Church because this church is a church marked with joyful saints. It's a place where there's people that actually enjoy going to church. I told my wife tonight, I said, "Can you believe there's actually a church with no drama?" She said, "Well, there is some drama. We just don't know about it." That's probably true. And the pastor and the men, they deal with it. Leadership deals with it before we even know about it. I said, I know there's drama because where there's people, there's drama. But listen, this is a pretty much a drama-free zone. And when there's no drama, there's a lot of joy. Thank God. And I understand where the gospel is and the Holy Ghost is working, there's some drama. Paul had some drama in his life. We just read about some of it there in Acts chapter number 19. But I'm just saying, you're going to have to deal with some furies in your life, some things, some uproars. Uproars with your family, uproars in the church, uproars with your own self. Things, amen, that you wish they weren't that way. But can I say tonight, they don't have to rob you of your joy. Not only did Paul deal here in Acts chapter number 20, he dealt with this fury at Ephesus, but then in his ministry there, right in the middle of this thing, a few verses, look at verse number 7, he had to deal with what I would call tonight the fall of Eutychus. Look at verse number 7. "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow," and look at this, I'm not going to do this tonight, but Paul did it. I don't know how he got away with it, but he did it. "He continued his speech until midnight." There were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, verse 9, "and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen to a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching," amen, "he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft, was taken up dead, and Paul went down, fell on him, embracing him, said, 'Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him.' And when he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while," he didn't even let it, I mean, he didn't hardly break stride. He's preaching till midnight. The young man falls out of church. Don't be a fallout. Don't be a fallout. You say, what's going on? There's a whole message right there. But listen, that's why we say first of all, he had more out than he had in. That's one of the reasons why he fell out of church. You got to make sure you got more in than you got out. If you got more hanging out than you got in, you're going to fall out. He was bored with the greatest preacher that ever lived. That encourages me. Sometimes, man, you got something, Brother Doug. I mean, man, you think, man, I got something tonight to preach. And, man, I mean, you're up preaching and it's in you. Like Pastor said, you know, you have time to study and pray over truth. And the truth is here and you're trying to deliver it. And you think, man, this is really good. It's going to help somebody. And as you're preaching, you look out and you make eye contact with somebody and they're sleeping. How in the world are they sleeping? I don't know. Maybe they should have went to bed Saturday night a few hours earlier. It used to really bother me. Then I thought, man, at least I could be a blessing to them. Help them get caught up on some sleep. Amen. I'm just saying, don't let the fallouts knock your joy out. Sometimes we get to looking at all the furies of life. And we look at the fallouts of life. And it just robs us of our joy. And as preachers, one of the things we have to guard against, Brother Oakley, is preaching to people in the auditorium that are not even there. Because we get aggravated. Because they fell out. And we got a bunch of faithful saints sitting here Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And if we're not careful, we'll lose our joy in the ministry and we'll take it out on God's people that have been faithful to not be a fallout. Paul didn't let it make him bitter. He's long preaching. By the way, he didn't change his message because the Bible says that he continued his speech until the break of day. He didn't think, man, maybe I should have shortened that sermon. Maybe it wouldn't have fallen out. He just went down there and had some compassion on him. He didn't kick him. Bless God, Eutychus, you deserve to die. You got what you had coming. He didn't do that. He went down there and had some compassion, had enough God on him, amen. He brought him back to life. He had enough life in him to bring him back to life again. Some people say, well, he wasn't dead. You can believe what you want to, but the old boy stood up again. And if you fell off the third loft and you live, you one tough sucker, amen. I believe he died. The Bible says they were not a little comforted. That means they were a whole lot comforted. God did a work there. But don't let the fallouts knock your joy out. Don't let the furies knock your joy out. Then I want to say tonight, don't let, and I'm done tonight, I'm going to give you this, I got a few things under this, but don't let the farewells of life knock your joy out. I hate farewells. Sometimes Paul's looking at these men, he's dealing with a lot. Would you not agree? In the first part of the chapter, the uproar. Middle part of the chapter, fall out of Eutychus. Now he's going to call these elders together and they're coming to him. And he's standing there and he's instructing them as an old preacher would to a younger crowd. Saying, hey, you boys got to finish your course. I got to finish mine. And my course is different than yours. Brother Justin, I can't run your race. I got to run mine. When I ran the marathon back in November 24, the New York City Marathon, there was 60,000 runners. Do you know whose race I had to run? Brian Green's. Somebody said, did you go to win? No. There's Nigerians there. I went across the finish line with joy. And some of them guys finished in 2 hours. I finished in 5 hours and 10 minutes. Amen. You say, well, that's slow. I finished. The goal was to get across the finish line. By the way, there's some inspiring things going on at those big marathons like that. Some great sermon illustrations. Man, there was a Down syndrome kid there that had a runner on each arm. Man, they were running together. Man, I mean, they weren't going very fast, but this guy, he made it. There was people there that, you know, had no legs or maybe had prosthetics on. And I mean, they're running like this. But they made it. And man, you know what happened? When they crossed the finish line, it didn't matter what ailment they had or what kind of hurdle in life that they had to overcome. Every single one of them, when they crossed the finish line, they weren't like, my God, they weren't mad. They were happy. There's a whole lot of smiles going across the finish line. tonight I want to leave this world with a smile, with the joy of the Lord in my heart. Don't let the farewells knock the joy out of you. Paul said, hey, we ain't going to see each other anymore. This is it. No more fellowship, no more time together. And there's going to be a time. Life is full of transitions and changes. I hate change. You hate change. He said, I don't hate change. Well, just next Sunday, everybody sit in a different seat and see how much you enjoy it. We like things to remain the same. But guess what? It ain't going to. Life is full of change. And how did Paul deal with these farewell to the elders? First of all, he shows them some things. He instructs them on how to stay with God, how to cross the finish line with joy. He gives them this farewell speech as he meets with them from verse 19 all the way through the end of the chapter. Let me give you a few of these things tonight. Number one, he said, if you're going to serve the Lord and you're going to finish your course with joy, number one, you're going to have to serve the Lord. Look at verse number 19. Serving the Lord. I like what he said in verse 18. At all seasons. You're going to have to serve Him at all seasons. How do you serve Him? Verse number 19, he said, number one, you're going to have to serve the Lord with all humility of mind. There's no room for you. There's no room for you. He wants us to do it with humility of mind. He didn't see himself as God's gift to the church. Some people think that the church cannot continue on without them. I hate to bust your bubble tonight, but the East River Baptist Church was going on before you got here, and if you leave, it'll continue on. Because God don't need us, we need Him. Now, He does use us in our place. That doesn't mean tonight that God does not need you here. But He doesn't need you here for this thing to exist and to continue on for the glory of God. Paul said, hey, we ain't God's gift to the church. Some people, they're so full of pride, they can sit down and strut while they're sitting down. They're like peacocks. And God doesn't want that in our life. We get to serve the Lord. Some people say, I gotta go to church today. I just gotta go. It's Sunday. I guess I gotta go. No, you get to go. We get to be here. We get to serve the Lord. We get to sing. We get to teach a Sunday school class. We get to grab some gospel tracts and leave them on gas pumps and in restaurants and in bathrooms and give them out to the waiters and the waitresses and the baristas. It's a joy to be able to do it. And we ought to do it with all humility of mind. I got to thinking about all the things, that places God's allowed me to go. I got to go all around the world. I would have never got to do that if I would not have gave my life to Jesus Christ. But the gospel has taken me around the world, and then God paid for it. He takes a poor preacher, puts him in the ministry, says, I'm going to make you a world traveler. Don't you worry about it. I'll fund it. And He's used some of you to do it. When I first got here, I was thinking about a trip when I made to Germany. And I wanted to take my daughter Avery. And she said, I want to go with you, Dad. And I said, man, the trip's already expensive. Because anytime you buy international plane tickets and you're getting rental cars and hotels and you're going around the world, it's not hundreds, it's thousands of dollars. And when you put somebody else on it, it gets that much more expensive. I said, why don't you pray and say, God, I want to go with my dad to the mission field. And she prayed, and it wasn't very long until somebody in this church, and I won't mention them, but they know who they are, went up to Brother Mark Emerson and gave him an envelope of $2,000, said, give this to Brother Brian for his trip to Germany. And I said, "That there it is." Amen. And I was able to say, hey, to my daughter, God answered your prayer. You prayed, He heard, God touched somebody's heart, they were obedient, and now we can do this, and we get to serve the Lord with all humility of mind. You see, when you realize He's the one that did it, it makes you get a little bit lower. We don't get to strut in here and say, well, bless God, I'm here. I can sing. Let me get up and perform. No, it ain't about us. We ain't a country song. It ain't about you, it ain't about I, amen, and all that other stuff. It's about Him. Not I, but Christ. Serve the Lord with humility of mind. He said, you're going to have to serve the Lord with some tears in verse 19. And with many tears. Many tears. You see, real men, they cry. But they don't cry all the time. Some men cry all the time. There's something wrong with a man that cries all the time. He's got a guilty conscience or something. I don't know what's going on in his life, but a man that cries all the time needs to be a man. But a man that never cries, he needs to get along with God. Paul said, I cry with many tears. Paul's a man's man. Jesus looked out across that crowd in John 11. And the Bible says, amen, when he had heard that Lazarus was dead. He already knew he was going to bring him back to life again. But he saw the distress that was going on. He had compassion. The Bible says, everyone knows John 11, 35. Jesus wept. The Son of God shed tears. You see, tonight we ought to have some tears. Tears of heartbreak. Tears of compassion. Tears even of times of fear. Paul was extremely transparent with his life, wasn't he? I mean, he just kind of opened up to these men and told them the way that it was. Nothing was hidden from these men. But he said, if you're going to finish with joy, number one, you're going to have to serve the Lord. The humility of mind, with tears, with temptations. He said, you're going to have to serve the Lord testifying. Verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. There was no prejudice in his preaching. It was to the Jews and also to the Greeks. The gospel goes to every skin color, every continent, every country, every single individual. There's no room for prejudice, and it's a pointed, simple message. Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, if you're going to heaven when you die, you had that experience in your life. Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. So he said, serve the Lord. And then number two tonight, I'm talking tonight about the farewells. He's talking to these elders and said, listen, I got a few things to tell you before we say our goodbyes. Number one, fellas, you need to serve the Lord. If you're going to finish with joy, you're going to have to serve Him at all seasons. And then number two, you're going to have to stay your course. Stay your course. Verse 24, he talks about all of these oppositions. Verse 24, but, I like that. But none of these things move me. What moves you tonight? What moves you from the will of God for your life? What moves you from your place? What moves the joy out of your heart? He said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What's it going to take to move you tonight? A bad experience in church? If you serve God and you get in church and you sell out to God, you're going to have a bad experience in church. Bad experiences. People will let you down. Preachers will let you down. Leadership will let you down. People will fail you. People will hurt you. People will abuse you. But the Lord Jesus Christ will never hurt you. He'll never hurt you. And you got to just learn to stay. What's it going to take to move you? Bad experiences? Divorce? I hate that D word. I hate divorce. But it happens. And sometimes it just gets people out. It moves them from the will of God. Moves them out of the course that God has them on. Sometimes there's detours in life. We're going along in life and something happens that was unexpected. You got to take a different road that you've never been down before. And sometimes your journey will take a detour. Man, Paul, there's many times you can read the Bible and you can see the detours. I was reading over there 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and he said, "And Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick." That's a detour. Trophimus was coming with the Apostle Paul, traveling with him, and along the way, that boy got sick and he had to leave him behind. That's a detour. That wasn't what they were expecting. But life goes on. You can't set, amen, in your sorrow pit, amen, and quit on God. You got to finish. You got to stay on your course. Sometimes people fall. Sometimes people fall so hard they can't forgive themselves. The Bible says a just man does what? Falls. It didn't say a lost man falls. It didn't say a backslidden man falls. It said a just man falls. And tonight, if you're a just man, I'm talking about saved by the grace of God, you are going to fall. But you know what he does? He falls what? 7 times. But he rises up again. You say, what happens on the 8th time? The number 8's the number for a new beginning. Just start over at 1, amen. Get up! Get up! Get up and go on for God. Stay your course. If those individuals that are running the races, that I'm talking about running a marathon or running whatever race, when you fall, you get up again. And you start running. Have you seen it on the Olympics before? They're running to win. They're running to get a medal. And they have fallen before, but they've gotten up again. And I don't know how they do it, but many times they get up and they pass the individual that never fell. Why? Because they didn't stay down, but they got up. Get up. Amen. And live for God. Dust yourself off. Keep on going for God. Stay your course. Stay your ministry. Your ministry is different than mine. My ministry is different than yours. There's people that you can reach I can't reach. There's people I can reach that you cannot reach. And you and I, we have our own ministry. Paul said there in verse number 28, he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." Paul said, you got a job. I got a job. You got a job. We all got to do what God wants us to do. I can't run your race for you. That's what Paul would say. Stay your course. Do what you're supposed to do. And God will take you and use you for His honor and for His glory tonight. There's much more I could say. I'm coming to an end here. I'm done with this. Serve the Lord. I'm talking about the farewells of life. This was a very uncomfortable situation. Because these men did not want to see their Paul leave. Didn't want to see it. It was heavy. It was heartbreaking. A lot of tears. They didn't want to see that. But Paul said, hey, you're going to have to go on. You're going to have to serve the Lord with me here or without me here. You're going to have to stay your course and do what God wants you to do. I'm going to finish my race. You've got to finish yours. And then he said, you got to stick to the old, if I could say it with the words of Jeremiah, stick with the old paths. Old time religion. I'm not talking tonight about, amen, a particular era and time that some independent Baptists are stuck in, like the 70s. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what Paul's talking about here when he deals with these individual things. Verse 26 through 28, he talks here about some old-fashioned teaching and preaching. That has never changed from no matter what century it's been in. It's always been this way, Brother Terry. Now, we didn't pull up in covered wagons with horse and buggy, and y'all have some color on, amen, and we got some modern garments on, we got modern technology. Thank God for Brother Brent and Brother Jared that takes modern technology and uses that medium to get the gospel to the world. We ain't stuck in the 70s where everybody would preach against that. I'm not talking about that. But Paul said, you got to stick to the old traditions. There's some good traditions and there's some bad traditions. And the Bible deals with both of them. We need the good things that we got that are Bible-based, that are scriptural-based. Look at verse 26. Wherefore I take to you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned declared to you all the counsel of God. He said, I didn't just preach sugar stick messages to you. I preached when it was boring to you. You thought it was too deep and it was too doctrinal. And then sometimes you thought it was too practical. We needed some more doctrine. I preached whenever you didn't understand it. I preached what you understood. I preached the whole counsel of God. By the way, that's what will grow a church and that's what will grow a Christian life, is text-driven preaching. Amen. Preaching that takes a text and sticks in it. Amen. Draws it out. It feeds the flock. He said that. Look at verse number 28. He said, verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. If God calls a man, He'll put a man where he's supposed to be. And that's what He said. He said, the Holy Ghost. Paul didn't say, I made you overseer over the people. It's never a man's job to strong arm a pastor in a church. It's the Holy Ghost's job. And when it comes time for transition, for a flock, that's where spiritual leadership comes in. And you got to say, Holy Ghost, who do you want to put over us to feed us? It's not about personality, about age, about last name, about credentials, about anything. You know what it's about? It's about the perfect will of the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Ghost hath made them overseers to feed the church of God, not beat them up, not stab them, not threaten them, not fleece them, feed them, which He hath purchased with His own blood. You want to get on God's bad side? Just start messing with the people that He purchased with His own blood. It's a big responsibility, Brother Brock, that God has placed our pastor and me even as an associate pastor, when God gives me times when I'm to feed delegated opportunities. It's a big thing. And He said, hey, stick to this. Don't get away from old-fashioned feeding, teaching, and preaching. It's not a performance. It's not a singing show. This is still the main thing. Let's keep the main thing, and don't ever get away from the main thing. You get under this old-time preaching of the Word of God, God will change your life. And God uses all different kinds of men. I told Pastor when he asked me, on Thursday or Friday, he said, you're up on Sunday night. I text him back and I said, after listening to Brother James Knox this week, I'm not even sure I'm called to preach. But the truth is, God uses different men different ways. That goes back to finishing your course. If God said, you got to be like James Knox, I'd just say, I quit. But I can be Brian Green. Old-fashioned teaching and preaching. Old-fashioned, simple living. Paul was transparent. Verse 33, I'm coming to a close. He said, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Paul wasn't in it for the money. Verse 34, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them which were with me. He said, not only old-fashioned, simple living, but old-fashioned, hard work. He said, these hands right here, I preached, I taught, I walked, I traveled, I wiped tears, picked people up. He said, but I also, these hands right here, we worked and we made some money. We sold some tents along the way, and I took care of myself and some other people also. I used my gifts and my abilities to help somebody else that maybe couldn't do what I could do. Some of you have, you're able to make money. Some people, this doesn't matter. I know there's some people that work hard and they just work hard. They can make money because they work hard. But some people, whatever they touch, they turn to gold. Use that for God. God gave you a mind and a brain. I'm talking about, this is old-fashioned. That's what he's saying. Stick to it. Old-fashioned preaching and teaching, old-fashioned simple living, old-fashioned hard work. And then he says old-fashioned giving. Verse 35, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The most fun you'll ever have with money is not keeping it, it's giving it away. Amen. You'll never have more fun with money than giving it away. It's a blast. You got a little extra, just try it. Find somebody that's got a need and give it away and watch how God, it's much better than going and buying yourself something. Listen, go find a missionary and men, instead of going and buying yourself a new suit, go buy the missionary a suit. It's a blast. Wasn't that fun Sunday morning when Pastor said that we're going to give that missionary $9,000? That was a blast. My wife and I had tears running down our face. That was a joyful experience. And I'm being honest tonight. I had more fun than if he would have said, we're going to give that $9,000 to Brother Green and his wife. Now, that would have been a blessing, but it's just more fun to give it to somebody else. It's more blessed. Jesus said that. To give than to receive. God's given us a goodly heritage. There's much more we could say in here tonight. I'm finished. The last thing he says, more blessed to give than receive. And then he said, when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down. He prayed with them all. They all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck, kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And then he just got on the ship. And he sailed away. What a sad moment. But in the midst of all of that, that's the way life is. There's farewells. And really, it's not goodbye. It's see you later. It's why these songs that we sing are songs of one of these days we're all going to cross over, amen, and we're going to get to be together. It's going to be a happy grand reunion. When I was a little boy, my grandpa, he only had half of a lung, and he was slumped over like this because when he was a little baby, he had double pneumonia. One lung failed, and he only had half of one lung. And the only time he had to wear oxygen was at night. His body adapted because he wouldn't take oxygen. He didn't want to be dependent upon it. And he died at 76 years old. But he couldn't do a lot because he constantly just couldn't breathe. But he learned how to cut hair from a guy that was in prison, and he opened up a barbershop behind my grandma and grandpa's house. And he would cut those old men's hair from way back in the 50s. He was born in the 20s, or maybe even in the 40s, 40s, 50s, 60s, all the way up to the mid-2000s. And every day, Brother John, at 1 o'clock, in that office, he loved Brother Lester Roloff. And he had a little picture of him there. And it didn't matter if there was a heathen sitting in the barber chair or a born-again Christian that loved God. At 1 o'clock on 770 out of Dallas, Texas, AM, he'd turn that radio on. And he'd turn on Brother Roloff. And I would come in about that time. And on those short days of school, he always had Little Debbie snacks. So we'd go out there and get them Little Debbies, amen. I'd sit in the chair and eat my Little Debbie snack and listen to Brother Roloff. And he'd come on there. And man, it's a moment in life that I can't forget. A moment, Brother Roloff coming on, and he started that song, you know, one sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and he shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the old tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away. And he takes the gloom and he fills that life with glory. For all has changed when Jesus comes to stay. He'd sing that second verse and he'd come on there and preach. He said, what is that? That's just old-fashioned Christianity. God's given that to us. He didn't want us to throw it by the wayside. He wants us to cross the finish line and finish, Brother Doug, with joy. With joy. Tonight, as the piano player comes, let's pray, and I'll turn the invitation over to Pastor. And maybe tonight you need to ask the Lord to help you to finish. Thank Him for His goodness in your life and His grace and His mercy. I want to finish with joy, Brother Oakley. The smile on my face, joy in my heart. Amen. Because I love Him. Father, I love You tonight. And I thank You, Lord, for the words of God. There's so much we could have preached tonight, so much You said. But I pray that something we said, something that was preached, taught, exhorted from the words of this book, God would find its way into the hearts of those that are here. And Father, help us, Lord, to cross the finish line with joy, finish our course with joy in the ministry that You've given to us. Keep Your good hand upon East River Baptist Church and our pastor in the days ahead. I pray that You'd help us now. Help us to love You and serve You. And Lord, help us to keep our joy. We ask all this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano player comes, the Lord spoke to your heart tonight.